Well, happy Easter to you and welcome to this wonderful day. This is the truth above all truths, and we've been offered a ringside seat at the events of that morning. This is the account of the Apostle John, written in the 20th chapter of his Gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. There is one truth which stands above all other truths. One truth which impacts the life of everyone who has ever lived or will ever live. One truth which is written with a diamond chisel into the unchangeable rock of history. One truth which transcends time, fills the universe, and swamps our human condition. It's the one truth which towers above all truths. It overshadows the petty, conflicting philosophies of the human race. It humiliates the pride of passing fads and fashions. It stamps on the lies and fake news which sway human opinion. This one truth dwarfs all other truths. Headlines shriek their daily message, but this truth stands silently forever. Fragile celebrities have their 10 minutes of fame, but this truth forever endures. Statues of stone celebrate dead heroes, but this truth proclaims to every generation, Jesus is risen from the dead. Yes, Jesus is risen from the dead. It's the truth which defies human blindness, defies the ignorance which claims we're masters of our own destiny, the blinkered shallowness which thinks that this life is all there is, the self-deceit which pretends we can achieve anything we want. Now, this one great truth thunders that Jesus is our destiny, that life does not end with death. Everything we achieve will one day crumble to dust unless it's carried out in his service. Before this truth, all evil one day will die, screaming its useless abuse. All people will one day fall to their knees in acknowledgement. Death itself will roll over and die. No philosophy will prevail against it. No rebellion will succeed to overthrow it. No insult will harm it. Dictators have tried to stamp it out. They died. Empires tried to order it out of existence. They fell. Cynics have laughed at its power. They were silenced even as they breathed their last. You can deny it, but you can't undo it. You can reject it, but you can't avoid it. You can attack it, but you can't overcome it. This is the truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's the great truth which overshadows all my trials. It isn't the cancer which confronts me, it's the risen Saviour who comforts me. It isn't the illness which debilitates me, it's the Saviour who liberates me. It isn't the pains which besiege me, it's the Saviour who relieves me. He holds my hand on my hospital bed. He mops my brow on my deathbed. He lifts me from the grave when it seems that death had defeated me. And this truth breaches the boundaries of my self-isolation. It infuses my room with light. It expands my horizon forever beyond my double-glazed windows. It connects me with God in my anxiety. This truth, which challenges my self-pity, is the path which illuminates when night closes around me. It's the hand on my shoulder when fog surrounds me. And it's the embrace which unfolds me when loneliness suffocates me. This truth meets me in grief. It proves that death is not the end. It invites me to step beyond the boundaries of bereavement. It declares plainly that we were created to live beyond our final breath. Indeed, this truth says that our home will forever be with him. We will die for sure. We will rise for sure. We will live forever for sure. Nothing can stop us dying. No one can stop him from raising us from death. No force can separate us from Jesus. One truth then, one truth, which reigns over all other truths. 2,000 years ago, a preacher was inspired to write, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." 300 years ago, a musician was inspired to write, "Jesu, joy of man's desiring." 100 years ago, a poet was inspired to plead, "My life is like a faded leaf. O Jesus, rise in me." Jesus is risen. That's the truth which confronts me around every bend in the road, behind every shrub in my garden, across every sea I sail. It's the destination of every journey, the answer to all my questions, the outcome of every paradox, because it is the truth which never ends, the truth which never alters, the truth which never fails. It's the truth which flooded through my walls one evening 60 years ago and turned my life upside down. It's the truth which squeezed a tear from a convicted murderer as I watched him receive Jesus into his heart. It's the truth which soothed a young girl I knew as she recovered from a suicide attempt and which healed her mind and restored her soul. You can't tell me that this truth is a figment of my imagination. I've watched men and women, young people and children respond to it. I personally have seen its power on 2 continents, in 3 languages and 1,000 social situations. This truth penetrates us with power because of its reason, its appeal, and its hope. It's written in the events of that first Easter morning. You can't make that unhappen because it did. You can't pretend it's fiction because it's written in the history of the times and confirmed ever since. You can't wish it away. It happened. It was real. And the world is still tottering from its momentum. Jesus Christ is risen today, and so he sweeps like a gurgling wave across the sands of human cultures, ethnic groups, and social categories. When you walk in spiritual darkness, he calls you into the light. He says, come and follow me. When you sit in emotional turmoil, this truth calls you into peace. Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you struggle with self-destructive patterns of living, this truth calls you to freedom. Jesus says, if I make you free, you will be free indeed. To those who are poor, this truth is encouragement that their poverty will turn to riches the moment they pass through that portal into eternity with Jesus. To the rich, this truth is the reminder that their riches will crumble to dust when they pass through the portal of eternity with Jesus. To the powerful, this truth is a warning that their deeds will be weighed in the balance of judgment when they tumble through the portals of eternity to encounter Jesus. So, you see, this truth is our rock in times of crisis. It's not just the pandemic which causes fear. As we grow older, we become more vulnerable and we feel anxious. As infirmity increases, so the strength of this truth intensifies. When I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, says the scripture, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. This is the only truth we need. Jesus Christ is risen today. This truth remains when all else fails. Our youthful good looks will wrinkle and blotch. Even permanent markers fade with time. All that plastic in the sea will eventually disintegrate. The earth one day will be swallowed by the sun. The stars will burn out and die. The universe will cease to exist. But he, Jesus, will still be. Because he's risen. And you and I, well, we shall be with him. Because where he is, there we shall be. And so, this truth then remains. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the one truth above all other truths.